What is going on, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And you are listening to the College Football Rundown Bowl Preview Part 2. So we're going to handle the games from the 28th on. So we got the 28th, 29th, 30th, and the 1st, which include the semifinal games. And today we have a special guest with us, right, Walt?
Absolutely. Happy to have him here. Mr. Hardways, the man, Michael Story. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I don't think I've been on since early in the college football season. It was a great season all around. Maybe not the ending that we would hope for the Georgia Bulldogs, but they still got a pretty good game coming up later this month. We'll see where they end up. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we'll get into that game in a little bit. That's about halfway, almost three quarters of the way through the program there. But we're going to make this episode a little quicker than the last one, probably a little less games, but we do have a lot of, I shouldn't say better games, because literally there's so many opt-outs and transfers, it's ridiculous. But one game that doesn't have a lot of opt-outs and transfers is the first one we'll talk about. It's one of my favorites to watch now that they did this. It's the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. I love watching them play at Fenway Park. It's pretty cool. But we have the number 24 ranked SMU Mustangs against Boston College Eagles. Well,
I love it, Woj. I love it. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl. Come on. Woj, why did the football team go to the Wasabi Bowl?
I don't know. This is, my wife's going to love this one, but I don't know.
For the extra kick, of course, Woj. Come on. Now. I got them lined up for you today, son. I did my homework. You guys can stay tuned all the way through the January 1st. I'll give you what I got. For
that works. That works doubly well. What with the Mustangs being in this game.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. The kick, baby. The kick. Let me tell you. And I like to paint the picture for the games, too. So I will give you the lines. I will show you what the total's at in this one. And then we'll listen to what Mike Story has to say over there. I'll just tell you right now. Hit the over. Hit the over. And then you'll hear him say, what game are we talking about? It doesn't matter. Hit the over. In this one, the total points is at 50.5 right now as it stands, open around that number. SMU minus 10. Big favorites up after that win against Tulane to end the season there. Plus 340 for BC if you want them on the money line. I mean, what are you just going to hammer the over, Mike? You just
going to hammer 51? Well, let's go ahead and pull up sportsbettingintel.com here. Yeah, 51, 50. It's ticking down a little bit, which is interesting. I know the SMU run game is very potent. I think they're starting backup quarterback Kevin Jennings, though, in this game. I feel bad for the Mustangs, actually. Their first conference title in 35 years or something like that, longer than that, almost 40 years now, and they get slapped with this one. I think they were hoping for a better bid, especially at number 24 in the nation. 10.5-point spread, it's ticked up a little bit. It's probably up to 11 in a bunch of places. There may be some value in Boston College in the spread, in the underdog on this, especially at 11, well past that double-digit spread there. I can see Boston College covering the spread in this one. I don't think there's any way they win this one, though.
Hey, wait, so you're telling me the Fenway Bowl isn't a good bowl to play in? They're playing in Fenway Park, Story.
Have you been to Fenway?
Yeah, it's cold this time of year. It sucks. I feel bad for both of these teams.
It's old. I've been there, and I can tell you firsthand, it's old, and just like Wrigley, it's outdated. They should just get rid of it and put something else on.
I love the Story hot takes on stadiums, coaches, everything. It's great. But you are right. They are starting Kevin Jenkins. Preston Stone is out for the season. But Jennings did play against Tulane, who they beat in their conference championship game, I might add. That's why they're in this position, 26-14. He did not do great, only completing 57.6% of the passes on 19 for 33. He was able to run it a little bit, 15 times for 63 yards against the Tulane team. I think Tulane, to be honest, is a tougher opponent right now than what Boston College is. There's really no big opt-outs in this game or any transfers. So this is actually a pretty well put out game, but Boston College has struggled down the stretch. They actually struggled in the beginning of the season too. They lost to NIU first game of the season. Coming down the stretch, they lost Virginia Tech, Pitt, Miami. This is an SMU Mustang team that's won their last nine. They're pretty hot. They did lose to Oklahoma and TCU, both not great games for them either. But I do like SMU in this, and I think I'm going to hammer them pretty hard in going over in covering the over. Excuse me. Covering Boston College, winning outright and doing it in a good margin here. I think this SMU team is pretty decent, even though they're not starting Alex Padilla. He's actually the transfer from Iowa. He was on the backup list too, but Jennings got the job. So obviously they have some struggles there in the backup quarterback situation.
I think it's Padilla, Woj.
Or Padilla, whatever. He's nothing to me. He left Iowa, so good riddance.
Well said, Woj. I like the comparison between Tulane being a better football team, though, than Boston College. Then he kind of went the other way with it, but I enjoyed what you had to say about that, because I completely agree that Tulane football team is a really good one. And obviously, we just talked about this SMU team took them down when it counted in the championship.
Yeah, they did. All right, moving on. We got the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl, another baseball stadium bowl. I mean, the Yankees had to get this one in there with the Fenway Bowl. So we have Rutgers. We got to go Big Ten game here against Miami. Story, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I got to ask, Wall, I didn't know where this one opened, the line on this one. I'm guessing it's directly due to Alex Van Dyke, Miami's starting quarterback, going to the transfer portal. But looking back, it looks like this opened at 4.5, and it's down to 1 in most places. Is that what you're seeing, Wall?
Yeah, I saw it open at the over a field goal for sure. I see it open at -3.5. Obviously, it depends on what book you're looking at. And now it's down to that, you know, one number, which is essentially a pick 'em. We have over under a 40.5. That line has moved down a little bit. So, you know, primetime player sitting, that'll bring it down a couple points. So we got 2 points off the spread. We got 2 points off the total. Makes sense. Maybe the news is coming in there. I will say, though, in this one, man, Rutgers, they're bringing their lawnmowers to the game. You know why? Because they heard that Miami's offense cuts through defenses like grass. Let me tell you, boys, get ready for them all night long. I'll be bringing them.
So Rutgers' defense is very good, as you mentioned, but their offense is something leaves a little bit to be desired. I'm just kind of blown away that Rutgers is in a bowl game, right? They were sitting 6-6, certainly started out hot. They lost their last 4 in a row. Their defensive line, though, is great at creating turnovers. Their offense, though, averaging 11.5 points per game through that 4-game losing streak. Even with a backup quarterback, Ja'Kuri Brown, starting for Miami, I feel better about this Miami program, and I think they get the win outright. Greg Schiano is probably just going to be happy to be in a bowl game this year.
Ja'Kuri Brown's numbers from last year when he did play, not that good. Against on the other, unless you're playing against Georgia Tech, which he actually did fairly well in that game, but I don't know with the amount of loss that Miami has here. We've already talked about Trey Van Dyke, and backup quarterback Emery Williams is out for the season, so they are going with Ja'Kuri Brown, likely. Wide receiver Colby Young transferred, which was their top wide receiver. Top edge rusher Ja'Kuri Harvey gone, and linebacker Corey Fragg Jr. in opt-outs, both safeties gone. And defensive tackle gone. So they lost a lot on defense there. So if Rutgers can kind of take advantage of that, which I'm sure they will, I feel like Rutgers has a really good shot in this bowl to definitely take the Miami of Florida down. And I'm going to put some money on the money line there.
Love it. You got to love that. The money line bet.
All right. We also have now next the Pop-Tart Bowl. Ooh. Pop-Tart Bowl. We got number 18, NC State. Got number 25, Kansas State. First time I think we're seeing a double-ranked team. This is at 4:45 on p.m. on ESPN. A lot of transfers in this one on both sides. Some opt-outs for Kansas State. Both quarterbacks will not be playing in this game as both transferred. So it's definitely going to be an interesting one, Story. We'll start us off here.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams are pretty scrappy, right? And both of them do average pretty good on the offensive side, especially the Wildcats. Kansas State, they averaged, they had a top 10 offense this year, averaging just under 38 points per game. But you mentioned it, Will Howard, he entered the transfer portal, so he won't be in here. The line on this, I believe it's Kansas State -7.5. Let me check and see if that moved as well. Well, actually, it did. Wow, these lines are just all over the place. Oh, my God. So it opened at 7.5. It's down to 3, 2.5 there now. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's tough to make picks on this when you've got backup, I hesitate to call them backup quarterbacks because they are starting quarterbacks in this capacity. But yeah, this should be hard-nosed football. The quarterbacks not being in, it does kind of take away from it a little bit. I think I'm going to stay away from making a pick on this one and just look forward to eating some Pop-Tarts, maybe taking a look and getting hungry during seeing that Pop-Tart mascot there once in a while on TV.
What's your favorite Pop-Tart?
It's the s'mores Pop-Tart, 100%.
S'mores?
I know that some people like the brown sugar cinnamon, but it's all about the s'mores for me.
All right. Well, you're probably not a Pop-Tart man, are you, Will?
No, eggs and bacon, bro. That's what I eat. Let me tell you. The kids like Pop-Tarts, though, and they had these Applejack Pop-Tarts the other day. I don't know. They got all kinds of flavors for these Pop-Tarts. Maybe they'll have them all showcased at this game. I don't know if you guys heard about the news with Mr. Mac Brown and this NC State Wolfpack team, what Mr. Doran had to say about them. Mr. Mac Brown took a little bit of issue with Doran putting down his players after that big win they had against North Carolina, that 39-20 win to end the season. Mac Brown took him down. Let me tell you, my man, I don't know if it's going to help or hurt NC State. In this one, I agree with Story. They're both a couple of grinder football teams. We have that line coming. I mean, they're all coming close to pick'ems in these games. People like to bet the dogs. They're figuring it out finally. I've been saying it for how many years now? Bet the dogs and bulls. People are figuring it out. Those lines are coming in. I don't really like betting either way in this football game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wall and Hardways in this one. There's 35 players in opt-outs or NFL pre-draft or draft prep, I should say. 17 on NC State and 18 on Kansas State. And that's just the number as of right now. It could even get worse. This is one of those games where I wouldn't feel comfortable making a pre-game bet. In-game bet, though, live betting, possibly. Kind of see how they start, see what they do. I wouldn't make the first drive be your condition on what happens in the rest of the game. I'd let at least the first quarter play out, maybe a little bit through the second quarter, and just kind of see what the teams are doing and make your educated guess off of that. But yeah, I strictly leave a game like this with this many opt-outs and this many people gone to just live betting.
Plenty of value, and if you could find it, plenty of opportunity live betting these games when they pop up. Slow starts on teams look to take the over, vice versa. They get hot, teams start to buckle down in the second half. If you can find those edges, there's definitely opportunity.
All right, moving on. Last game of Thursday, December 28th is, oh yeah, my number 14 Arizona Wildcats in the Valero Alamo Bowl versus number 12 Oklahoma State, 8:15 p.m. on ESPN. A couple notables here. Oklahoma quarterback Dillon Gabriel is gone. He's going to Oregon. He'll be in the Big Ten next year. They also have a couple other key guys. Tywin Walker, who's the running back. Offensive guard Caden Green is gone. And Key Lawrence, who's a cornerback, one of the better ones, with two interceptions and 44 tackles this year, gone. And they have three opt-outs as well. Offensive tackle Tyler Gutton, center Adam Rame, and offensive coordinator Jeff Lebby will now be the head coach at Mississippi State. So he will be gone as well. Story, can you take Oklahoma in this one? I mean, Arizona's been the ranked team killer, and now they get a great bowl to showcase it. Tell me you are backing Arizona on this one.
Okay, before I get to the pick, I get us got to give the bowl makers, the schedule makers, props on this one. This is probably the best outside of the New Year's Six that we're going to get, right? Two teams that were right on the cusp of top 10. Arizona with the remarkable turnaround under Jed Fish there. Oklahoma, always a strong contender in the Big 12. This year fell a little short there. I don't particularly like the Oklahoma program, but I still don't trust Arizona. I know their offense is good. Noah Fifita is a very good starting quarterback, and he was probably the keystone for Arizona's remarkable turnaround this year. Went from the bottom of the Pac-12 into one of the top there. And they were very good on the road, and they were very good as an underdog, 6-8, 6-0 against the spread this season. But this should be a thriller. The over-under is 62.5 there. So depending on where you get it, yeah, I think Oklahoma wins in a thriller. I think this is back and forth affair, but I'm going to stick with a team that Brent Venables, who's been there in the spotlight before, he knows how to get it done.
Well, come on. You got to give me some love here. You got to help me out here. You got to go Arizona, right? I mean, this is a team that's destroyed other ranked teams.
I mean, I like your logic, Woj, and I don't mind your bet. It makes sense. The problem with Oklahoma is they're so random. I mean, talking about a football team that beat Texas. I mean, one of the top four, and say whatever you want about Texas, they're one of the top four teams in the nation. They're a football team that beat a top four football team in the nation. I mean, I don't know what team shows up. There are losses come to Oklahoma State, and then they get that, you know, throwaway gimme to Kansas. Other than that, they've been playing good football. I will say, though, they're not covering the spreads like they should. Let me tell you, I lost first few weeks on them twice. I know at least. I think the first I don't remember which weeks it was. First 5 weeks of the season, I lost twice on them, but not happy about that. But still, they're a good football team. If they show up in their best capacity, whether this player plays, that player plays, I know Gabriel's leaving. I mean, Oregon got a gift there. Sucks to be in the Big Ten having to go against that because he was phenomenal at UCF. Could have done better at Oklahoma, I think, with better coaching. Venable's not the offensive guy. He's the defensive guy. We all know that. But still, in this football game, I don't want to bet against Oklahoma because if they show up, they can trounce Arizona here.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against Dylan Gabriel. I mean, the guy went 3,600 yards, 30 for 6 TD interception, 93 carries for 373 yards and 12 TDs, led the team in rushing TDs, obviously led the team in passing TDs as well. Their number one running back, Tyween Walker, 95 carries, 496 yards, 7 TDs, is not playing either. He's gone. Actually, I think that's their backup. Nevertheless, like, you can't – Dylan Gabriel was your team, essentially, at that point. I don't know. Defensively, Arizona's or Oklahoma's been up and down. Arizona has looked like a very sound team. They are coming from the Pac-12, and we've noticed over the years, teams coming from the Pac-12, playing these bigger teams, tend to fold a little bit. But I think Arizona's a different kind of Pac-12 team. I think their defense plays really tough. I think their offense is clicking on all cylinders. I think they're looking forward to this game. They don't really have any opt-outs other than Jordan Morgan, which is their left tackle, and no transfers. So I'm going to go with the Wildcats. I'm going to go with my instinct here. I mean, this is a team that has looked great going on the stretch. I'm loving them, and I'm becoming an Arizona fan as one of my second teams or third teams here in college football.
I wonder if it's going to be a hostile environment there for the Sooners because they are playing at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio there. So I'm just wondering if maybe this is an away game for Oklahoma versus Arizona.
Yeah, possibly. All right, moving on. We got Friday, December 29th. We got number 22 Clemson in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl playing against Kentucky, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Wall, what are you thinking on this? You think Clemson can get some of that Dabo Sweeney love here and win?
Oh, I think so. I think they're gearing up to file a win against that Kentucky defense.
I can't wait till I ask that question to Story. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think my joke passed you. I mean, I don't even know what Story got. I bet you his brother would get it. He would appreciate that joke. Let me tell you, we got Clemson in this football game, -4.5, -7 at the open. So money's actually coming in on the dog again. What do we know? Let me tell you. Kentucky, the big thing here is we remember they beat Louisville on this program, this podcast, when we were talking about it. Woj, what did I say? This is one of the bets of the century. We took Kentucky. We took them straight up on the money line against Louisville, one of the better bets on the year. But now people are liking back in this Kentucky team against another ACC team. I don't know about it. I think Clemson shows up. I think their defense can maybe get it done. The over-under in this game, 46.5, shows that, yeah, defenses might show up and step up in this one. You want to bet Kentucky on that money line, +175, probably the place to go. Why bet the points at that 4.5 number?
Story, what are your thoughts going into this one?
So I here we go. I hate both these coaches. You've got on one side, you've got an absolute clown. On the other side, you've got an absolute moron. And so for me, this is a game that I really don't care about, especially because I'm guessing Ray Davis opted out of this one. Yeah, Woj?
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't yet, but I would only assume so. And I know where you're going with this one. I like it. I'm go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, no, it's just if Ray Davis is playing in this game, then I'm all over Kentucky. If Mark Stoops decides to use him properly, which is his biggest problem at the end of the year here. I think that, well, you're right. The defense there for the Tigers is very stifling, especially down the stretch. They went 4-0 to end out their season. I think Cade Klubnik is a little bit of a hit-and-miss quarterback. But when you're limiting opposing QBs to a 45% completion percentage, it just doesn't make any sense to take Kentucky in this one. I think Clemson, if Cade Klubnik can keep it together, I think they show up. I think they win and they cover, especially at that 4.5 number. When it opened at 7, it's a little trickier. At 4.5, I think it's an easy Clemson pick.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a Clemson team down the stretch that beat Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, UNC, and South Carolina. They have the 9th ranked defense in EPA and 4th in success rate allowed. If Ray Davis doesn't play, I don't think Kentucky scores. If they score, it won't be pretty. It'll be dirty. And I see Clemson being able to handle this game pretty easily with what they have at their disposal, especially if Ray Davis doesn't play. This is a different game if Ray Davis plays. Just like Story Hardway's talked about. I mean, it's a completely different game. But right now, if Ray Davis does opt out, I think Clemson pretty much controls this game defensively, and they just need to do what they need to do on offense to get it done. They just need to play sound football and run it with Shipley and all those good weapons they have back there as far as running backs.
Well, it's the under came in. The under came in. Story, it took him 16 minutes before he ripped into a coach. It's the under, barely, though, at that 18 we had him at before he ripped into the first coach. I want to bring that up.
Well, I don't know if you can get from context which one's the clown and which one's the moron. Oh, hit me up on social media if you want more information.
I love it. Well, actually, I forgot we when we were talking before this episode, he was ripping on coaches, so maybe the under waking.
Yeah, maybe. All right, well, we're moving on. We have probably one of the most uninteresting games in this slate that we're going to talk about right now. Again, this is on Friday, December 29th. We had number 19, Oregon State, at number 16, Notre Dame, 1 p.m. on CBS. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. I'm not even going to go through transfer portal and opt-outs because there is a ton of them, but DJ Ungulele will not be playing. He is transferring, as well as basically half the rest of the team. And then on the other side of this, you don't have basically anybody from Notre Dame playing. So let's find out what the backups look like here. Hopefully they have enough people to play the football game. Story.
Well, I know that Sam Hartman hasn't officially declared that he's out, that he's not going to play in this game, but come on. I mean, we can see the writing on the wall. He's a top three, four pick in the NFL draft. How is he going to, pull the wool over our eyes. It doesn't work for me. So I don't think that Sam Hartman, there's any way that he plays in this. There's a lot of moving parts, but the Irish are pretty heavy favorites. They have a better team all around. The defense is very good. The Irish were very good against the spread when they were favored by less than 20 points this season. It's Oregon State's last stand as a Power 5 school, but I think there's definitely blow-up potential just due to the Notre Dame defense alone. It looks like an Oregon State team that is crumbling just with all the transfers, as you mentioned, Woj. So for me, give me the Irish in this one.
Yeah, Sam Hartman is opted out too. That is official.
He is official. Okay.
He will not be playing, as well as their running back, SD Epstein, obviously the number one running back, top linebacker, two offensive tackles, and a cornerback all opting out, as well as transfers from all three of their top wide receivers, Chris Trey, Rico Flores Jr., and Tobias Merriweather, as well as both of their tight ends they have. That have played the season. Center Zeke Correll and edge rusher Nini Osaf-Nentz. I can't even say that last name, but he had 20 tackles and 3 sacks this year. Not a top edge rusher, but one of their premier edge rushers. But that's not to say that Oregon State's going to have their easy cake, because they lose a ton of stuff too. I mean, it's one of those games that's, it's unfortunate to see. It's good for the younger guys to kind of get a look at what they got, but it's just unfortunate to see. I'll hand it over to Wall for the rest of this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we brought up the spread really yet. It's at 7 right now, and, you know, take your pick, flip a coin on this one with all the people. We're not watching the two football teams we watch throughout the season. It's a shame, too, because if you think about it, this would be one of the most exciting games of the bowl season for me. Oregon State football team playing phenomenal football over there in the Pac-12. Notre Dame, I know no one respects them, but they came out hot at the beginning of the season. They've been playing good football also. I don't know what we're going to see when these two teams go on the field. The book seem to think it's going to be a touchdown game, over under 41.5. If you want to just back the dog, make that bowl strategy of backing the dog, plus 190 on Oregon State. I will say this. I think that Notre Dame is a deeper team. So when you have a lot of players sitting out from both teams, the deeper team is likely, you know, going to be in a better position to win the football game. They have, you know, more highly recruited players sitting there ready to come up in the wings. So I do like this Irish football team. I don't know that I like them by a touchdown. I think they will score. I think they'll, you know, find a pot of touchdowns at the end of that Sun Bowl rainbow. Woj, I think they'll get some points on the board. Maybe look at the over on this one.
Yep, I would. Yeah, again, this is one of those ones that maybe the over looks good to me. It's just one of those that I wouldn't bet a team unless I was live game betting. There's just too much question marks on both sides of the ball. These are two different football teams. But we'll move on. We have the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Memphis at Iowa State, 2:30 p.m. on ESPN. No big notables here. A couple running backs from Iowa State are transferring, led team in second in carries. So, yeah, they're big news there. But Iowa State just churns out running backs. So I'm sure the third string is just as good as the others. But this is a Memphis team that let a lot of points through against some really bad teams at the end of the season. Story. I mean, we're talking Charlotte, South Florida, Texas, giving up 42, 50, 38. SMU, they gave up 34. Temple, they gave up 21. I mean, they don't have a much defense over there in Memphis, Story.
No, but their offense is very, very good, right? We're talking about an offense that averaged almost 40 points per game. You said it, Woj. They churn out running backs. You look at the NFL and you look at the number of Memphis running backs that are floating around. It's something to be.
Well, Iowa State too. I mean, you just look at their. That's what I was more or less referring to was the Iowa State running backs.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, and it goes both ways because you. Yeah. I mean, on one hand, you got Tony Pollard from Memphis, and the other hand, you got Breece Hall from Iowa State. Right, like the NFL is just flooded with these running backs. So both of these teams can keep the ball on the ground and control the clock. But that Memphis offense is a sight to behold if you can watch it. I think that they are going to cover the spread. Iowa State is a big favorite in this. Let me check the current spread. You always got to check the current spreads now because of the way things are moving. But it looks like this one, yeah, it's ticked up. It was open at 7. It's 8.5 now. 9 in some places, 9.5, depending on where you get it. So for me, I think that Matt Campbell had a really good season. I think he's going to improve to 500. I think he's going to win this game, but I think Memphis has enough firepower to keep it close. So I could see this a 3-4, maybe 6-7 point game, but they're not going to cover. I don't think Iowa State covers that 9.5, 10 point spread.
Well, what are your thoughts on this one? I know you're just, you can't go with an Iowa State, but what are you thinking here?
Hey, bet the Tigers. I mean, hey, let me tell you this. I hope Go Hobo goes listening. You bet the Tigers. Iowa State sucks. They're a horrible football program. I mean, why would you bet on Iowa State? I will say, to make things somewhat neutral, the question for Memphis is who did they play throughout the year, right? Being that Iowa State did play some football teams, quote unquote, throughout the year. Memphis, not exactly the same thing, but their claim to victory was beating that Boise State football team. Real good football team. They also had a very close game at the end of the season to SMU, which was another kind of claim to fame, even though they did lose that one. But who did they play so far? Really no one. So I think you stay away from this game. If you have to bet it, if you're one of those guys, I mean, just bet against Iowa State.
This is an Iowa State team that won 26-16 against Texas, who's in the college football playoffs. They did lose to Kansas State 28-21. They beat BYU, beat Kansas State, beat Baylor, Cincinnati, TCU, lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Oklahoma by a lot, 50-20. But their biggest loss of the season was to Iowa. And that was a 20-13 loss to our Hawkeyes. Listen, this is a team that let Northern Iowa score 9 points. They let the Hawkeyes score 20 points. They're going to let Memphis score 80 points. So, again, one of those things I wouldn't want to bet, probably bet the over if I was looking at anything, just because I can see this going crazy high. I don't believe in Iowa State's defense. I don't believe in that team. Bet the over.
Okay. It's actually
did I redeem myself there, Wall? Was that good enough?
You talked about Iowa State a little too long, but yeah.
I talked about some Iowa in there.
I know. You finished with Iowa beating them, and I appreciate that. So, yes, you did.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Last game of Friday, December 29th. We got number 9, Missouri, at number 7, Ohio State. Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Notables for this one is Missouri, no one, no opt-outs or no transfers. On the other side of this, Kyle McCord is transferring away from Ohio State, going to go look to be a bad quarterback somewhere else. wide receiver Julian Fleming is transferring. Numerous opt-outs possible here. I don't think there's been any confirmed reports yet, but I assume Marvin Harrison Jr. will not play. I can't say it. Abuka is transferring or opting out. Cade Stover, I'm sure, is opting out, and cornerback Denzel Burke probably also opting out. Those haven't been confirmed yet, but I can only imagine, knowing Ohio State, knowing the situation Marvin Harrison is, and Abuka and Cade Stover, they would all opt out. But that's it. What do you think here, Wall? Are you thinking this is going to be a good game, little Ohio State victory here?
I do think it's going to be a good game. I have to keep my biases in the back of my mind, though, when I go to bet this one, because I don't care about McCord sitting out, really, to be honest with you, because you mentioned he hasn't been playing fantastic football compared to Ohio State quarterbacks of the past. I'm guessing Brown's going to step in for him. I think he can step up to the job, get it done. But Ohio State wins because they're just solid all around as a football team. I do not respect Missouri much. That's the part I have to keep in the back of my mind, because I probably should give them a little more respect. They are a football team, only two losses in the SEC, but we're sitting at basically a pick 'em right now. I mean, you get a point if you want Ohio State open at -3.5. I don't know why they opened it there. They had to think with all these opt-outs were coming in, over under 48.5. I'd stay away from that total, because I don't know where the points are going to come in this one, but I'm really liking Ohio State here.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. While I like Missouri in this game, I think they're going to want to put a punctuation on a pretty good season for the Tigers. It's surprising to me that Cody Schrader didn't opt out of this one. It's surprising that Luther Burden didn't opt out of this one either. Brady Cook's a pretty underrated quarterback, but Luther Burden is the playmaker on offense for them. I shouldn't say he's the receiving playmaker on offense. You cannot take anything away from Cody Schrader. He is the best running back in college football. I think he was the nation's leading rusher with almost 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns on the ground this year. And with everything going on with Ohio State, Kyle McCord, you know, your starting quarterback, he's here for 1 year and he's gone. We all know Marvin Harrison's gone. Ibuka's gone. This, I don't know how motivated. It's always tough to try to get in the head of college football players and say how motivated they will be. But in this case, I just don't know how much they're going to want to be in this game. So I think that you're going to have an underrated Missouri Tigers team taking on an Ohio State team that might feel like they didn't get the fair shaft this, or might have gotten the shaft this year. I like the Tigers.
All right. This is the team that, yeah, did do well this year. They lost to Georgia and LSU, those two losses. Played tough in those games. Went, you know, 36-7 against the Tennessee team. This is a different type of Missouri team that, you know, didn't lose to Army or Wake Forest the last two seasons in bowl games. So I think it's going to be a tougher contest than most people think. But I do give Ohio State the edge here, even with backup quarterbacks, backup wide receivers or whatnot. They churn out wide receivers like everybody, like we talked about with Memphis and Ohio State bringing out running backs. So one of those games I just feel like is going to be a pretty tight one, but I'm unsure. If Kyle McCord was truly the best quarterback that they had or they have right now, then maybe Missouri takes this, because Kyle McCord did not play very well. And he was throwing it to probably the best wide receiver in college football, if not, you know, a couple of the best wide receivers in college football. So look for it to be a decent game, I think, down the stretch. Ohio State and Ryan Day always seem to pull things out, even though I don't even think Ryan Day is coaching in this game because he's leaving. So we'll see what happens. But we're going to move on. Go a little quicker through this stretch of games here on the 30th, Saturday, December 30th. We got number 11, Ole Miss, at number 10, Penn State, Chick-fil-A Bowl, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Wall.
I mean, you want to go through quicker now, Woj, you get to the game that I like. You know, I've been big on Penn State through the, you know, before the game matchups even came out, I wanted Penn State because the line makers have not been giving them the respect they deserve in this football game. Line open -3.5. That's where I got it the first time. Yes, sir. That's at -4 right now, over under in this football game, 48.5. If you do want Ole Miss to get the upset in this one, +160. I just think that this Penn State football team, top to bottom, is an extremely, extremely good football team. You know, they lost to Michigan. Yes, they lost to Ohio State. Yes, we're talking about two fantastic football teams they lost to, though. I remember them playing our Iowa Hawkeyes. Our defense, one of the best defenses in the nation, had a lot of trouble with that Penn State offense. I don't see how Ole Miss is going to come anywhere close to stopping them, let alone keep up with them. So I love Penn State in this football game.
Story, what are you thinking here? I'll give you my quick thoughts here first. Penn State, kind of just add on the wall. Penn State against quarterbacks, as far as DFS points go, 11.9 per game, ranked third. Versus running backs, 10.6, ranked number one. Wide receivers, 14.7, ranked number three. That's in all of college football. They are an exceptional defense. A lot of people think Drew Aller is going to be possibly a contender for Heisman for next year. This is his breakout game, and he starts it here. Like Wall said, their offense is sneaky, very sneaky. And they have a lot of players that like to stick around for a long time. There's a couple opt-outs here. No crazy ones here. You know, seconds in team, maybe some thirds, but nothing crazy. I think Penn State rolls here and shows the SEC what the Big Ten has in store for them in the coming years.
Yeah, I tend to agree with everything you guys said. I think that you've got this is going to be a pretty compelling game when you look at the narratives, Lane Kiffin and Franklin there, and you've got a really good offense in Ole Miss and a really good defense in Penn State. But Penn State's sneaky offense, I mean, they got a couple of pass-catching tight ends in Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren, who've been pretty good this year. As you mentioned, Woj, that he's a preseason odds to be at least being the Heisman contender there, Drew Allar for Penn State. So for me, when you look at defense versus offense, defense typically travels better. So I think the Nittany Lions are going to put the clamps down. You look at the two losses that Ole Miss had, and they were against top-tier defenses in the SEC, Alabama and Georgia, and they couldn't get anything going anywhere. Now, just to confirm, is Quinshon Judkins playing in this, Woj? Has he said one way or the other?
He has not said one way or the other. I would imagine he wouldn't be, but again, it hasn't been announced yet, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if he's out, I would think that this spread moves. Right now it's 4 across most books, and if you like it, I would get in at that number. Under the assumption, I have to think, it's a pretty good running back class, but I have to think that Quinshon Judkins is gone after this. So yeah, give me the Nittany Lions. I like Penn State in this one too.
All right, moving on. We got Auburn at Maryland, 1 p.m. ABC, the Trans Perfect Music City Bowl. Notables for this one is Tungavailoa, the quarterback from Maryland, will be opting out of this one, as well as their top tight end, who is second in team receptions, in Corey Ducius. Other than that, no big crazy notables. They lose a couple defenders in the secondary, but I think that'll be a pretty tight game. Everybody kind of playing here. Wall, what do you think?
I mean, the market kind of got caught by surprise, I think, on that Tagovailoa news, him not playing. I think the line makers had priced in for him to play because this line opened at -2. Auburn was the favorite. I'm from everything I saw, they've been the favorite since the beginning. But now it's at that -7, -6.5, depending where you want to bet it, number. So Tagovailoa not playing, Auburn, you know, a little better chances of winning the football game. This Auburn football team, though, like, I mean, how do you bet on them? A month ago, they beat Arkansas, right? They just crush Arkansas 48-10. Then they go to play New Mexico State at home. This Auburn football plays New Mexico State and they lose 31-10. And then the next game, the last game of the season for Auburn, they essentially beat Alabama, a team that's in the playoffs right now. They essentially beat them, other than a Hail Mary that, yes, I understand it, Alabama had more points at the end of the game, but that Hail Mary is the only reason that Auburn didn't beat this Alabama football team. What do you make of this Auburn football team? What are they going to do out there? If they play bad football, Maryland can crush them. If they play good football, they can crush Maryland. So we'll see what comes of this game. I'll probably stay away from it with my money.
I wouldn't be surprised if Hugh Freeze used this opportunity to try out a couple of different guys on the roster behind Robbie Ashford. He's not it. He's not the guy there. He won't be starting next year. You can mark my words. He's just not. He's a tremendous athlete, but he's not a quarterback that can take this program to the next level. Tua Tagovailoa is opting out, cratered the over-under in this one. It was 50.5. It's 46.5 now. To me, this game looks boring. I don't think that's anything I really like about it. I mean, you've got another interesting SEC Big Ten matchup and Big Ten top-tier conference in the nation, as is SEC. Yeah, I think they're both of these teams are teams in transition. So for me, yeah, I guess give me Maryland, but I'm honestly not even going to be paying attention much to this game.
Moving on, we got number 6, Georgia, at number 5, Florida State, 3 p.m. on ESPN, the Capital One Orange Bowl. I'll give my takes on this one off the bat. As far as Florida State goes, and I know I might get some feedback from this, but a team that people complain not being into the college football playoffs is plus almost 500 to win the game outright against a Georgia team that also is not in the college football playoffs. So I think Vegas got this right as far as where they're putting the numbers in the best teams in college football right now. Florida State, I don't think has a chance in this game just because of how deep Georgia is. Both teams are going to lose transfers. They did. Both teams are going to lose opt-outs, which they did. Trey Benson, big one from Florida State because most of their opt-outs are in. Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell, their edge rusher Jared Versey, all out as far as opting out, obviously going to the NFL. Georgia really hasn't opted out yet. They still have time, but nevertheless, Georgia is a deeper team. Carson Beck is a much better quarterback than Tate Roadmaker. Give me just the better Georgia team in this. Follow Vegas on this one. This is not hard for me to pick here. Well,
hey, I love it. I mean, I love the point you made about Florida State. Again, we won't get into it too deep, but I'll say this at the outset. It comes down to whether they deserved to have a shot or whether they were one of the best teams in football. So, you know, make your opinion based on that. But Florida State now is, you know, 14-point underdogs against Georgia. You very well pointed out a team that's not even in the playoffs. I love it. And it's a little bit of medicine for Florida State too, because I'm sure Mr. Story over there remembers this, but Florida State is the one back when there was all that talk when NIU was good back in 2012-13, I think somewhere around there, where there was talk that, oh, NIU should be, you know, one of the teams competing for the championship, or at the time it might've been BCS for the championship. It might've been, but Florida State was the one that kind of put them up against the wall in that 31-10 win. So I think it's going to go the other way now a little bit. I think Florida State's going to get put against the wall. I think Georgia just covers the spread, even though it's at two touchdowns.
The audience might not know this, but I was at that game in Miami, the NIU Florida State game in the Orange Bowl. And I will argue to the day I die that the refs had it out for NIU and it turned on a BS. They didn't make the right call on the onside kick, and it turned the momentum of the game. It swung it, and it was just a horrible way to cheat an outstanding program. The Huskies were cheated, but that's neither here nor there. That's old history. We got Florida State and Georgia, and this is, again, where you have to be careful. You can construct a narrative about however or whatever you want with this game, right? If Florida State wins, they can proclaim themselves the national champions, right? They emerged victorious. They were undefeated on the season. They had a backup quarterback, and they still got it done against the number six team in the nation, the Georgia Bulldogs. On the other end, Georgia, they probably got shafted out of a playoff spot there. So they're motivated. They want to show everybody that you made the wrong choice. At the same time, you got all these opt-outs, and you've got a backup quarterback for Florida State. So Georgia, how is it? Is it a SEC championship game hangover? Are they motivated? Do they really care about the rest of this season? That's why I think a spread like this, 13.5, what's interesting is I looked at this. This was the hypothetical spread when the odds makers thought that Georgia would meet Florida State in the semifinals here when that was a possibility. So the fact that it's still 13.5 tells you that, yeah, okay, you got a backup quarterback for Florida State, but Georgia, there's just something going on behind the scenes. I think you're looking at a 10-point game. I just don't think that there's enough there for Georgia with everybody opting out to cover a double-digit spread that high. So, yeah, I'll take Florida State in the points.
All right. We have Toledo, last game of the day on the 30th. Toledo at Wyoming, 3:30 p.m. on the CW Network or Barstool. We'll be streaming this because it is the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. Well,
there you go. Or you can go watch it down there in Arizona. Tickets starting at $14. Yeah,
$14.
Costs you more to watch it on the TV than head down there and watch it in person. I love it. I mean, this is one that, you know, I love Toledo. I'm going to back the Mac. Let me tell you, back the Mac. It's been working out for us a little bit so far this bowl season. +3.5. I don't want that. Give me the +150 on the money line to straight up beat Wyoming here. Wyoming, 4 losses on the season, is not comparable to the 2 losses for Toledo, because Wyoming does play that stiffer competition, in my opinion anyways, and if everyone can have their own opinion about that. If you want Wyoming, you got to lay that 3.5 over under a 44.5. I think that's really all I have to say about this one. I will say this though about the bowl itself. Barstool, man, they ruin everything.
You know how many sweatshirts I have of Barstool guys? I cannot believe that this is a game. Toledo at Wyoming. I mean, Toledo is probably settling for this game, right? They lost in the MAC championship to Miami there. But they've got a really good team. They're very balanced in offense. Daquan Finn, I think, is another underrated quarterback, especially in the MAC. He's a difference. I'm with you, Walt. Give me the money line on Toledo on this one. What did you say it was? +1?
No, knowing Daquan Finn is in the transfer portal.
Oh, is he in the transfer portal?
He is gone.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's why they flipped from the dog to, or from the favorite to the dog, right? Right. Because, yeah, you know, that news, like we talked about before with the other game with Tagovailoa, that news shook the market. It was something that was not priced into that line. But still, I mean, yes, I get it. You're missing one of the PTPers on your team, but you went from, you know, the favorite to the underdog. You're getting pretty good money over there. I quoted at +150. You might find a better number over there.
I'll stick it at +150. I see it at Caesars here on Sports Betting Intel. They've got it there. We've got it there at +150 at Caesars, BetMGM and points. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Toledo's pretty balanced. Wyoming, sure, they're, you know, pretty decent. They're a decent team, but they did fail to show up in big spots. They lost by more than 20 points to both Boise State and UNLV. So yeah, well, let's go Mac.
Yeah, Wyoming likes slowing the ball down, 122nd in pace of play in college football. And then you have two top 20 defenses as far as the pass goes in college football. I'm not going to put a bet on either of these teams, but the under at 44.5, I know that's low scoring. I think I take the under on that. This is just two teams that, again, are battered and bruised with some of their best players leaving. Two decent defenses and one team that really likes to play real slow. So I'll give me the under on this one, edging out a real sleepy afternoon here on the CW network.
You watch all Riverdale right afterwards.
We got some exciting games up, so don't fall asleep yet. These are the premiere of the premiere. We have Monday, January 1st. I'm hosting my annual bowl party. I hope both of you are coming. I think both of you have already RSVP'd, so we already know that answer. But we're going to first game up, which is the first game of the day. We'll kick off at 11 a.m. on ESPN2. We have the Wisconsin Badgers versus LSU in their ReliaQuest Bowl. Story, do you think the Badgers can pull this one out?
This is tough. I know that Wall likes Tanner Mordecai, but you're looking at a guy who averaged 187 passing yards in the three games after returning from injury. I get that Wisconsin is a running team, but Braylon Allen's already opted out. Jaden Daniels gone, right? This is another game where you're going to be missing a ton of players on both sides of the ball. I cannot believe this over-under is as high as it is right now, 54.5, 55. I do not see that over coming in, unfortunately. But, yeah, you're talking – what's the spread here? 10.5? No, 9.5, so it's ticking down. And 10, you can still get that at MGM. For me, I think that, you know, Luke Fickell probably wants to prove that Wisconsin's a competitive team. At the same time, Brian Kelly has a chance to get 10 wins on the season here. I think LSU wins, but I don't think they cover this 10-point spread.
I mean, it's a story that over-under is coming from an LSU team that's been tremendously terrible on defense all year. That's why. But I'll leave it off the story for the rest, or Wall for the rest of this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with what Story has to say there because I'll say this. Let me change that around completely. I'm going to bet on Wisconsin because I know that the person on New Year's Day that controls the quantity of food I will be eating is a Wisconsin fan. So go Badgers. Let me say I'm a huge Badgers fan here. The hard part about betting on the Badgers, though, is trying to find the reason why you want to bet on the Badgers. I know it sounds weird, but I know my reason. As far as why they win the football game, I just can't see it. You know, I was really hoping we got that LSU-Penn State matchup. I was hoping we got a close line. I would have absolutely hammered Penn State in that situation. The reason being, Jaden Daniels, I mean, we know he's not playing. You didn't really have to look at the news, right? Well, you kind of knew that was going to happen, right? Yeah. So you knew he wasn't going to play, and he was a huge, not a small part of the offense, not a medium part of the offense. He was a huge part of that offense, hence MVP talks. I mean, I just think that this LSU team without him is a completely different team. The problem I have, though, is finding that reason to bet on Wisconsin. So if I do something, I will bet on Wisconsin. I will bet on them on the money line, +280, +300, wherever it is at the time. Otherwise, I'm just going to stay away from this game completely.
Yeah, just to mimic what Wall said there about Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels led the team in all categories, led the team in passing attempts, rushing attempts, passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, passing yards, rushing yards. I mean, this guy did it all. He was 44 as far as TD interception ratio. Nussmeier is a decent backup. We've seen him play before, but he is not Jaden Daniels. This is a different team. This is the same defense that we've seen all year just flop over and crawl into a hole and let people score on them. That said, Wisconsin still does have some transfers. Two of their top wide receivers, Jahmyr Dyke and Skylar Bell, will both be gone, as well as their offensive lineman and linebacker, Jordan Turner, who had 61 tackles, 3 sacks this year, as well as 2 batted passes. You have Braylon Allen, who is opting out, obviously, as well as their center and one of their top cornerbacks. Braylon Allen is the probably biggest one, although they do have some better backups, I'm sure. Story can tell you all about that because they obviously don't run their number one running backs ever when he has them on his team. nevertheless, I think this is going to be a closer game than people think. And I think the over-under isn't lying. I think this is a Wisconsin team that could put up points against an LSU defense that's that bad. They've played good defenses all year. Now they get to go play a defense that doesn't exist. So I would look to, for it to be closer. I think Wisconsin can definitely at least cover this, if not win this. So go Badgers. If I said anything else, I probably would be kicked out of the house tonight. So we'll just go Badgers. Moving on, we got number 23, Liberty at number 8, Oregon, 12 p.m. on ESPN. It's the Verbo Fiesta Bowl story.
Yeah, this one, poor Liberty. Like, they had such a fantastic season. You got it. I mean, props to Jamie Chadwell. He's working wonders in his first year there at the program. Undefeated on the season. It's going to be tough, though, for Liberty to keep up. I don't know that we know whether or not Bo Nix is playing.
It's going to be just tough? No, he is playing. He said he's going to play.
Okay, so he's playing. I don't know if he's going to the draft, though. I'm just curious about that. It's a pretty loaded class in general. But you kind of give it up to what Chadwell has done there at Liberty. He found Caden Salter, and he's probably the best dual-threat quarterback in the nation. They average over 300 yards rushing per game. This one should be a slugfest back and forth, and that's reflected in the over-under of 67 there. I might look to, like we talked about live, maybe this one starts a little slow in first quarter. Then maybe you can get a number right around 63, maybe a little lower than that. But, yeah, I don't see that there's any way that Liberty can keep up with Oregon's potent offense. So, that 17.5 point spread, that's tough to really wrap your – is it still 17.5 there?
Yeah, 17.5.
Tough to wrap your head around. Probably going to lay off of that altogether and just watch this game for all the scoring.
Yeah, before Wall goes, I'm going to butt in here. Bucky Irving is not playing for Oregon. He's one of the opt-outs.
Does it matter?
Honestly doesn't matter. Bo Nix is playing. He won't be back next year. I believe this is the last year of eligibility, so he will be in the draft. But he said he's going to play in this game. Dylan Gabriel is also going to be the likely quarterback for Oregon. He probably wouldn't have transferred if he didn't have a number one starting spot there. But with Bo Nix playing in this game, Liberty absolutely has zero chance to win this. Oregon is going to rack up the score. It's just what Oregon does. It's what Bo Nix does. He wants to go on a high number here. Bet the over, bet Oregon. Do whatever you need to do to put a bunch of money on this game, because I don't think Liberty has what it takes to shut down an Oregon team that's been that explosive, even without Bucky Irving. Well, tell me wrong.
No, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, Woj. I'm not an idiot. Let me tell you that. I will say that I missed this one. It opened, you know, at 14.5 on most books, and it dropped down to minus 14, which I never saw. If I saw that line, I would have taken the Ducks for sure. This is kind of the reverse of what we've talked about in a couple games. The market was pricing in that Bo Nix might not start. As soon as I'm sure the news came out, that big news, you know, one more game news. When that came out, you know, the line went up to 17 where it sits now, that 17.5 number, the story quoted. I like the Ducks in this football game. I don't know that I can like them by 17. I do agree that if I had to bet this one way, I would go the Ducks. Bo Nix, phenomenal quarterback. We didn't talk about the golden ratio enough this year, Woj. The golden ratio, for anyone that doesn't listen to this program regularly, is touchdowns to interception. Mr. Bo Nix, 40 touchdowns to 3 interceptions on the season.
That's better than Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman.
It's insane. I don't recall a number like that. I'm sure it's happened, but I do not recall a number like that. 40 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. That's just crazy.
Yeah, he was a beast this year. I'm sure he'll be a beast at the next level. But we do have to move on to our new next game, and it's probably my favorite game. It's the Cheez-It Bowl. Can't wait for it. Number 17, Iowa, at number 21, Tennessee. 12 p.m. ABC. Can't be happier that it's actually the Cheez-It Bowl. I'm going to definitely have some Cheez-Its here that day for everybody to eat during that game.
Only during that game, though, right?
We'll wait on Wall. We'll give the story of the handle here first before we hand it to Wall so we can drill story on his Tennessee pick.
Okay. All right. Well, before we jump into the pick here, let's give Kirk Ferentz credit. He's been at this school long enough to have played, to have a 500 record of 5-5 against SEC teams. Do you wrap your head around that? The guy's been there that long that he's played the SEC 10 times and he's got a 5-5 record. So props to that. Now they will have had a month by the time they last played to figure anything out on offense, I guess, maybe. The over-under in this game is 36. I've been in on board with Tennessee this year, but Joe Milton is a tough guy to get your head around seeing some of the decisions that he makes on the field. I know that Tennessee's going to probably come out slinging a little bit, but 8 is a tough spread there. It's above 7. I think you just got to go under. I think you're just going to have to go under at this, in this game, because I don't see either team really making any splashy plays. 36 is low for a bowl game, but yeah, I can't take the over in this one.
I tried to find to see if Iowa played Michigan when Joe Milton was quarterbacking for Michigan at the time, but I don't think that ever happened. But he's going to be glad he transferred, because we're going to destroy them on defense. He's going to throw a couple picks. It's not going to be good. If a team can score a touchdown in this game, props to them, because it is going to be a tough game for anybody to score a touchdown. Iowa with their woes in offense and Tennessee with the woes that they're going to face on Iowa's secondary and linebackers in front four, everything that they're going to have to deal with against Iowa. I think it's actually going to be a decent game. It's going to be low scoring. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's going to be a decent game to watch, just because there aren't that many opt-outs other than obviously Jerrilyn Wright is not playing for Tennessee, who led the team in carries and rushing yards. That is unfortunate that he won't be playing. But as far as Iowa goes, there's only one person that's not playing in the transfer portal, Diontae Vines, who's a wide receiver. Look for him probably to be a number one wide receiver in college football next year somewhere else, because that just kind of seems to be the case whenever an Iowa wide receiver transfers somewhere else, they pop up. But go Hawkeyes in this one. I'll be eating Cheez-Its all day, rooting them on. They're going to beat another SEC team. He improves to 6-5, Kurt Ferentz does. Well,
yeah, I love it. I mean, why don't you bet Iowa in the bowl game? They never get the respect they deserve in the bowl game. I've won money straight up on them the past, I think, 4 out of 5 years, maybe 5 out of 6 years, actually. And that's betting on them as the underdog almost every time. I like our Iowa Hawkeyes. There's no question about that. I will disagree with you all day on the Cheez-It part, Woj. Give me Ruffles over Cheez-Its day, but right. I will not. I remember that poll we did on Twitter. Do you remember that?
I do.
The Ruffles won, Woj. You bow down to the Ruffles, let me tell you. But we can agree on this football game. Hawkeyes over the Volunteers. I like our team.
I do, too. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Let's go. All right, moving on. Our next two games are the college football semifinals. As I probably do not need to say, there are no opt-outs or transfers in these ones. We have number 4, Alabama, at number 1, Michigan, to start it off. 4 p.m. on ESPN. Story.
Yeah, this one should be pretty exciting. You're looking at a quarterback in Jalen Monroe for Alabama, who turned his season around. He was benched at one point midseason there, and Saban tried out a couple of different guys, but he averaged 220 passing yards and 10 touchdowns with one interception. He averaged 220 passing yards, had 10 touchdowns, only one interception in Alabama's last 5 games. He also unleashed on the ground, just racking up yards after yards. But Michigan is a top scoring defense in college football. So what does it mean for the running games in this one? What does it mean for the passing game, especially that Michigan passing game when you've got Alabama and just the nation's best pass rusher in Dallas Turner? I don't care for either of the coaches in this one. I've made no shade about that I hate both Saban and Harbaugh. I like the over in this game. I think that there's too much emphasis being put on these defenses and not enough respect on what the offense is. J.J. McCarthy is a serviceable quarterback, but you look at our friend, the running back from Michigan. What's his name? Help me out. Blake Corum.
Donovan Edwards is the backup.
Blake Corum, who is arguably the best running back in the nation. They hurt his Heisman hopes just by being so good. He didn't have to play in second half of most of those games. So I like the over in this one. It's only 45. I don't see how this one goes under with just how potent both of these offenses can be. And like I said, defenses are great, but I don't think there's enough credit being given to the offenses, especially what they've done towards the second half of the year.
Well, what are you thinking here?
Well, I don't know that I would take the over on this one, actually. I might actually go the other way. I probably won't, but if I had to, I might actually go the other way and take the under. It opened at that 46.5 number, so there is a little bit of money coming in on that. We'd have to expect people think this game is going to be lower scoring than it opened. A little bit of money coming in on the under. I don't know that I'm going to bet that way, though. I'm just real excited for this football game in itself. I like both these coaches. I disagree with Mr. Mike Story on two aspects of what he said there. I like Saban. I like Harbaugh. I think they're both winners. I think they both coach their football programs the right way. Laugh at it all you want about the, what do they call that scandal? The tape gate? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but yeah.
Whatever they call it. I don't care about that. That aside, I just think both these coaches coach very good football programs. I think they're very good at their jobs, which we forget sometimes. This is their job and they're very good at it. So I'm excited to watch these two football teams go against each other. I think the Michigan Wolverines offense, their offensive line is the best offensive line in the country. Yes, Mr. Blake Corum, fantastic runner, over 1,000 yards rushing on the season, over 20 touchdowns on the season at 24 touchdowns. I think it's because of that offensive line. So when I'm watching this football game, I'm going to be watching that Michigan offensive line against this Alabama defensive line because they sub a lot. They're going to have a lot of fresh players. Can they get to the quarterback? Can they plug those holes, let their linebackers get Mr. Corum to the ground? I don't know about that. I like Michigan to win the football game.
What's going through Jim Harbaugh's head right now? I know he's a nut for football, but just thinking about Jalen Milroe and scrambling outside the pocket, what are they going to do? Jalen Milroe hasn't been able to play a defense quite like Michigan's and how they play. They play that cover two, but they have a line in front in edge rushers that are able to get to the quarterback, unlike any team we've seen probably this decade. We've seen so many good edge rushers go into the NFL from Michigan and be productive. Am I wrong, Story? Good players.
Not it's a factory. Iowa tight ends. It's just a factory.
They don't need to blitz to do any damage. And when they're playing a cover two or even Michigan, and that for that fact, probably can play a man from time to time, they're going to struggle, especially when Milroe scrambles, because they're going to be able to keep him contained with a four-man front while being able to play a zone. And that's a recipe for nightmares for a quarterback like Jalen Milroe. Not many teams can do that, but Michigan's a defense that can. So this is going to be a good game. I'm going to lay the points and take the favorite here. I'm going to take Michigan. I think they are overall a better football team. I think JJ McCarthy always kicks it in the high gear when it comes to playoff time and starts playing, making these passes that people wouldn't expect him to make, but he's able to make them. So give me Michigan. Just based on what I've seen in playoffs before and what I've seen as far as this Alabama offense going into a defense that I think disrupts what they like to do or what they're trying to do this late in the season. I think if they had a run game, this is a different story, but Alabama's run game hasn't been very good outside Jalen Milroe. So give me Michigan to take this one, but we're going to move on to our final CFP semifinal game in the All-Star Sugar Bowl.
Before we get there, Wal, did you give your pick for that game? I might have tuned out and missed it.
I didn't say that I'm for sure 100% on this side, but I did. I said Michigan would be my
Michigan. Pick. Okay.
All right, moving on. I know which side Wal's on in this one. We got number three, Texas at number two, Washington, 7:45 p.m. on ESPN. I'm going to start it off with Story here. Do you think the Longhorns can get it done versus Michael Penix in that Washington offense?
Yeah, the real Jay-Z might not want to hear this, but yeah, this is an easy win and cover for Texas for me. Ooh. I just think that they are a far superior program. This is going to be a running game battle, right? Dylan Johnson on the side of Washington. That's going to be tough for the Longhorns to kind of contain him, but their defense is outstanding. Third in the FBS, only giving up 80 yards per game there. On the other side, Texas just – you had Jonathan Brooks, who was probably top three running back in the nation. He goes down. C.J. Baxter steps in. He goes down. Jaden Blue steps in. Then C.J. Baxter's back. They just got depth at that position. They're going to control the clock in this one. I don't think that over of 64.5 is very appealing. Or actually, let's check that. 63.5. That's still a little tough for me to get there. Washington can certainly score, but they're not nearly as high-flying as, say, LSU or Oregon was in this game. So, but yeah, there's just a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. You've got Steve Sarkisian, also famed. He's the coach for Texas, facing his former program in Washington. This is also a rematch from the Alamo Bowl from last year. Great quarterbacks on both sides. I just think that Texas, they've got all the talent in the world. They've got the motivation. I see them going back to the college football finals there, the finals game. So I'm going to take Texas to win this game and cover the 4-point spread.
Thoughts on Sarkisian deal? Is he in at least a 5 out of 10 for you, or where's he at?
He is in the top maybe 85%. I only dislike him. Okay. Well, think about that. Well, it's top 85%. That means that he's lumped in with 84 other coaches there. So he's fine. He's not at the bottom 15. I'll just say that.
Is your, I mean, I'm assuming your top ranking is like a 7 out of 10. That's like your number one coach.
There's not a coach. There's not a coach in college football that deserves over 5. I will go to my top 10 coach.
That's what I thought. All right. But that's it. I think Sarkisian is a mastermind, much like Hardball is in college football. I like he plays his opponents well, and he does pulls out a game plan that works for his team. Come up with Oklahoma's in a lot of the high powered offenses in the Big 12, but they try to slow them down as much as they can. I get 64 points were scored in that game, but Texas is one of those sneaky teams that can score a lot of points. They have a really good quarterback in Quinn Ewers, and a lot of people pass him up. Yeah, he's thrown a lot of interceptions, done things like this. He's made throws. And I mean, me and Wall talked about this after the Alabama game earlier this season that they won. He's made throws that I haven't seen many quarterbacks make, and he's young. So Quinn Ewers is good and he's only improving. So I like Quinn Ewers. I like this Texas defense. I like the scheme that they run. I think they're going to slow this down. Like you said, Jonathan Brooks has been an amazing asset to them, and their run game has been an amazing asset ever since that Alabama game, and where neither of those teams had a run game at that point. So
well, I don't want to confuse anybody, but Jonathan Brooks will not be playing in this game. He had a season-ending injury later.
Correct, yes.
So it will be CJ Baxter.
Yeah, but nevertheless, like you said, they're so deep in that position. They've done well in the NFL with quarterbacks they've sent to the NFL. So give me Texas in this one in a grindy game. I think this is going to be one of those, like Oklahoma, where maybe we get some scoring, but I think it's going to be tooth and nail all the way. But I do like Texas in this one. Don't get me wrong, Washington's a good football team, but give me the Longhorns all the way. Well,
John, I'm surprised. I mean, some of the stuff you have said this episode has been so intelligible. It's thrown me for a loop. I'm like, what is Woj talking about? Like, he knows what he's talking about. This is insane. Normally I take a nap. Now I'm listening to you. I'm like, you know, stifled by the amount of information you're giving me. I love it, Woj. I love it. But I'm just going to straight up say, go Longhorns in this football game. I'm going to bet the Longhorns. My money's going to be where my mouth is on this one. I do think Washington is a good football team, though. I'm not as I know that, you know, Story over there was saying this is an easy one for the Longhorns. I don't know that it's so easy because Washington is a good football team. But I didn't hear any of you mention Mr. Worthy for Texas over there. I think Mr. Xavier Worthy is the reason that Texas gets it done. I don't think Washington is going to have an answer for him back there. Even they're going to double team him a lot. They're going to get in a cover two with a man over the top of Worthy. I still don't think they're going to be able to take him down because they've seen good receivers, right? They've seen Cowing over there, I believe from Arizona, they played them. Tez Johnson, they saw him a couple times in the season, but none of them are Xavier Worthy. None of them have the physical ability and that prowess that he brings to the football field. I think he gets a couple touchdowns in this one. I think Ewers is going to be looking his way, trying to get him the ball whenever he can, whenever he needs that out on a third and long. Worthy is going to be the guy. I think it comes out good for the Longhorns. I'm probably going to back them here with a full unit.
I love that, Walt. And I talked really good about Worthy earlier in the season because of those facts. He is he dwarfs the cornerbacks out there. He is a beast. He looks like an NFL wide receiver, a big slot receiver that you can just slip in anywhere and he'll catch a ball. He is a very, very good wide receiver. I think very underrated in college football right now, but I think he is one of the best wide receivers in college football right now. Story, you were going to say something?
Is Xavier Worthy playing in this game?
As far as to my knowledge, he is playing in this game.
So there's no shot he doesn't go to the draft, just FYI. So
there is, as far as the updates as of today, no one from either of the college football semifinal games have opted out or put into a transfer portal yet.
Yeah, I know it's unusual if somebody were to opt out from the playoff games, but I wouldn't put it past anybody at this point in just where things are with trying to get to the NFL and this, that, and the other thing. So I'm just want to make sure that you got all the information leading up to it, but he plays.
And you always got to check, you know, the day before, the day of, just check to make sure. I think opt-outs have to go up a week before the game. So you'll know at least a week before the game, if there is an opt-out in that, but just so you know, you always stay informed on that. Definitely 100%. And if there are too many opt-outs, like I said before, In-game betting, I think, is your way to go if you're going to make an educated bet and not just like a hot take into a game.
Hey, I love it. And one thing I will say about the opting out is Adunze, he's got to be gone, right? Too. So
yeah, Rome Adunze will for sure be going to the draft. So I'd be surprised if he wasn't a top 20 pick this year.
You're talking about those two guys going heads up against each other. Why would either one of them want to sit that out? It could directly impact, you know, this game going up against each other. That could directly impact how high they go in the draft, as in, does one go over the other? I mean, I'm assuming Adunze is still quite a bit higher in the rank, but if you're going from the Xavier Worthy line of thinking, why would you sit this game out when a guy ranked higher than you is playing and you have a chance to show yourself? So it would really surprise me if he did sit out.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Story, thank you for joining us for the part two of the bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, my pleasure, guys. This was fun. I can't believe that we've gone through all the bowl games already. We've been having a blast. So I just want to confirm, I think we all have Michigan versus Texas in the final, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Chalk across the board. I'm looking at the odds here, and that is those are the favorites there. So I guess we'll see if we are chalky this week or this year, or if something else happens, we get some upset. But it should be a good bowl season in the year. Again, thanks for having me on, guys.
Again, I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.